So who knows what book of the Bible we've been learning about? Raise your hand. Yes. All right. Hopefully all you guys know we are learning about Proverbs. So let's go to our next slide. What person did God use to write the book of Proverbs? And I have a picture here as kind of a hint. Andrew, you think you know?
Paul?
Not Paul. Look at the picture a little bit. He's got a gold band around his head. Yes. You're getting closer. We're getting closer.
Jonah?
No, getting further away. It is Old Testament.
Solomon.
King Solomon. So you were right when you said Saul. Saul was a king. He was a king. He was the son of... Who was his father? Solomon. Who was his father? Anna? David, the son of David. All right. So, as a new king, you know, what do you think? Do you think it would be easy to be a king or hard to be a king? Give me a thumbs up if you say easy to be a king. That's a piece of cake. Give me a thumbs down if you say, no, that's hard. Very hard. I think you're right. That would be a hard job. You're responsible for the whole country. And, wow, that's a really big job. So Solomon felt the weight of that responsibility. If we go to the next slide here, we'll see what Samuel asked God for. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" So if the Lord asked you, what would you like, what would you ask for? You could have anything you want. What would you ask for? Intelligence. Wow, that's pretty good.
Superpower,
okay.
Wisdom,
all right.
To go up in heaven and glorify God.
Okay, those are good answers. Well, let's see what Solomon asked for. And Solomon said, "O Lord my God, you have made your servant," that's him, "king instead of my father David. But I am a little child." Now, I don't know that he was like as little as like the kids in ABC Cadets. Not that little. But he just meant that he was a young person and there was a lot more that he had to learn. "I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" What did Solomon ask God for? Go ahead and go to the next one. What did Solomon ask God for? Raise your hand if you think you know.
Wisdom.
An understanding heart. Wisdom, we could say. He asked God for wisdom. And so, going on, what did God think of Solomon's request? What do you think, Isaac? What did God think of Solomon's request? He asked God for wisdom.
Yes.
You think God's going to give that to him? Let's find out. What does it say? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. And you know what? God gave him not only wisdom, but he also gave him riches, and he became a great king. Now, did Solomon always make the right decision?
No,
he didn't. But God did bless him with wisdom. So let's continue looking. Solomon's the one who God used to put together the book of Proverbs. Let's look at an example of Solomon's wisdom. One day there were two women who came to Solomon, and there was one baby, and these women were arguing with each other. The one said to Solomon, "We live in the same house, we're sharing the same apartment, and in the nighttime, I looked at my child, and it wasn't mine, because this other lady, she had accidentally her baby had died. And she switched the babies. And so she said that the baby was hers. My baby was hers. And the other woman said, no, no, it's not. That's my baby. Well, back then, they couldn't do, like, you know, scientific things like DNA. So you know what Solomon did? He said, bring me a sword. And he said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We will cut the baby in half. You can have one half, and you can have the other half. Everything's fair. Well, you know what? The mother, the real mother, said, no, don't do that. I would rather the baby live with the other woman than for the baby to die. But the other woman that the child didn't belong to, she said, ah, that's fine. Good idea. Solomon said, now I know who the real mother is. The mother who loved her child and was willing to give it up to save the child's life. That's the real mother. And so the people marveled when they saw the wisdom that God had given to their king. So as we think about the book of Proverbs, what is a proverb? Let's take a look at some of these proverbs. Raise your hand if you would like to read one of these. Go ahead. Have you ever heard that before?
Yes.
What does it mean? Can you tell me what it means? So if you want to be good at something, like basketball, what should you do? Right. If you want to be good at something, whether it's playing the piano or playing basketball, you have to practice. And so we say, practice makes perfect. Well, how about this next one here? Who would like to read it? Go ahead, Andrew. Haste. Do you know what that means? This could apply when you're doing your homework. Those of you who have homework from school already, what does it mean? Haste makes waste. Do you think you know what it means?
Fast.
Is it good to do your homework really, really fast?
No.
What will happen if you do your homework really, really fast?
You'll mess up.
Yes, Roman's right. You'll mess it up. You'll have to redo it, and that's bad. When the cat's away, the mice will play. Who thinks they know that one? What does that mean? What does it mean?
When, like, your parents are away, you can't... This is how me and my sister do it. When my parents are away, she's in charge, but when she's downstairs, I do what I want upstairs.
Oh, okay. So
when no one's watching me, I do whatever I want.
I see. Well, let's not comment anymore on that one. Let's go to the last one. You can't judge a book by its cover. What do you think that means, Anna?
It means that if the cover looks boring, you don't know that the book is coming.
Yeah, you can look at a book and say, wow, that doesn't look very interesting, but maybe on the inside, it's really interesting. And that applies to people also. You can't look at a person on the outside and say, oh yeah, I know what that person is like. No, you have to learn about their character, who they are on the inside. So let me ask you, these are some examples of proverbs, not from the Bible, just some everyday proverbs we say. So are they long or short?
Kind of short.
What do you think? Is it like 20 pages long?
No.
5 pages long?
No.
Just one sentence, right? Very short. But what is their purpose? What's the purpose of saying haste makes waste? What's the purpose of that? To help you, to teach you, to show you the right thing to do. Proverbs give us wisdom and instruction. They show us the right way to go. All right, so let's keep on looking. And let's ask the question, well, continuing, what is a proverb? Here's something for us to remember. We should view them not so much as commands or promises, but more as principles that teach wisdom. Here's a proverb from the Bible. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So this is a principle for parents that they can follow in how they raise their children. So it's not so much a command or promise, but more of a principle to teach us the right way to do something. Continuing on, why is wisdom important? Why is wisdom important? You know what? The Bible has a lot of commands. And I think some of you guys know commands in the Bible, because some of them are really, really famous. And I think you guys have learned them. Who can tell me a command from the Bible? Isaac?
Do not steal.
Do not steal. Wow, that's an important one. That's very clear. Don't steal. Don't do it. Ian?
Don't lie.
Don't lie. Yes, it's a bad idea. Don't do it. But you know what? Sometimes in life, we have a situation where we don't know what to do. And we look at the Ten Commandments, and maybe we don't know. There's no commandment that tells us what to do when we're in class and our teacher gives us a really big homework assignment and we don't have enough time to do it. What should we do? We look at the Ten Commandments and it doesn't really talk about homework assignments. And maybe we look at a couple of other things. You know what? We can look at the Proverbs because they give us wisdom for life's difficult situations. They teach us principles of how we can honor and draw near to God. So Proverbs and wisdom show us not only the right way to go, but how to be in a right relationship with God. And that's the most important thing, right? So here's another question. What is the source of wisdom? What is the source of wisdom? What do you think? What is the source of wisdom, Levi? Who is the source of wisdom? Let me ask it that way. Who is the source of wisdom? Jesus, that's a good answer. God is the source of wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Colossians 2:3 tell us about Jesus, that in Jesus are all the riches of wisdom and knowledge. And God's word teaches us wisdom. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for instruction and many other things. God's word teaches us wisdom. Proverbs teaches us wisdom. That's why we're looking at Proverbs. And don't forget Proverbs 1:7. Does anyone still have it memorized? That was our memory verse from last week. Yes, go ahead.
Crap, it just left.
Oh, watch the language. Yes.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom.
Very good. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Let's all say that together. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Very good. So, looking on, we see in Proverbs that wisdom is calling out to us. What does wisdom say? Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the cities. In the city, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. So here we see wisdom portrayed like a person, like a woman who is crying out. And she is saying, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? What do you think it means here when it says simple ones? Do you think it means people who have wisdom or people who don't have wisdom? What do you think it means when it says, you simple ones? People who have wisdom or people who don't have wisdom? What do you think, Dominic?
People who don't have wisdom.
Exactly. Sometimes they're called simple-minded, and it's that they don't want to learn the right way to do things. They don't have wisdom. Why won't you learn? She says, wisdom says, turn at my rebuke. Turn. Stop going the wrong way. Repent. Go the right way. Listen to God. Listen to your parents. Listen to those who are teaching you the right way. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. You know, this kind of reminds me about how God poured out his spirit on Pentecost on the believers. How God gives us his spirit. God is the source of wisdom. He wants to give wisdom. But will we listen? Now let's go to the next slide as we look at Proverbs 2. Still thinking about wisdom. But now let's think about, rather than wisdom calling to us, us calling out for wisdom. Now this is written like a father teaching his son. And I'm sure, as kids, you guys have learned things from your mom and dad. Raise your hand if your mom and dad have taught you something. I'm sure they've taught you a lot of things. How to tie your shoes, how to do multiplication, how to get to school on time, how to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Yes, you could put your hands down. There's a lot of things that our moms and dads teach us. So here a father is speaking to his son. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commandments with you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice for understanding. Let's all pay attention here. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Wow, there's a lot here. So, is the father teaching his son that wisdom is valuable? Give me a yes or a no. Is he saying that wisdom is valuable? Yes. In fact, he's saying that his son should cry out, give me wisdom. I need wisdom. In fact, we should search for wisdom the way we search for what? How should we search for wisdom? Just like we search
for silver.
Right, for silver or for what? Or for, there's another thing. For gold, for hidden treasure. Go to the next slide. What if somebody told you that there were valuable gold coins in your backyard? The person who owned your house before you was a pirate. Many, many years ago, there was a pirate who buried treasure in your backyard. What would you do, Ian? Yeah, if you have a small backyard, all the better. You don't have to dig as long. I would dig a hole. I would find that gold treasure. Wow. But you know what? We should seek wisdom just like we would seek hidden treasure. Proverbs 2 goes on. Let's go to the next slide. For the Lord gives wisdom. Who gives wisdom? The Lord. God is the source of wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. The Lord gives us wisdom. But you know what? Sometimes we don't really like wisdom. Why don't we like correction? Sometimes we're doing something wrong and somebody corrects us, and we don't like it. We don't like to be corrected. Maybe we're writing something and we're writing it the wrong way, and someone tells us, you're not doing that right. Does that make us feel good? No. Why don't we like correction? What do you think? When we do something right, how do we feel?
Good.
And when we do something that's not right, when we find out we're doing it wrong, how do we feel?
Terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And so when we're told you're doing it wrong, it makes us feel like we're messing everything up. But if someone tells us how to do something the right way, does it mean they hate us? Now, it is possible. What do you think? Is it possible to correct someone in a mean way?
Yes.
I think so. I've heard people correct others and do it in a mean way. To do it just to show how they're better than you.
Yeah.
But not always. Someone could correct you because they love you and they want to teach you the right way. Let me show you an example. So let's say I'm going to be playing baseball, and I get up to the plate, and I swing, and I miss every time. Can any of you boys on the front row tell me what I'm doing wrong? Oh, I'm holding the wrong end of the bat? Okay. Yeah, that feels better. I think I'll be able to hit it this time.
Okay, now hold it like this, and then...
All right. Swing.
You want me to pitch to you?
No, not right now. Okay. Not inside. But you know what? If we're doing things the wrong way, we need... What do we need?
Discipline?
Maybe. Discipline, that's good. If we're doing things the wrong way, what do we need?
Help.
Help, that's good. What do we need?
Wisdom.
We need wisdom, instruction, correction. And God gives us wisdom in his word. And not only that, Jesus came to be wisdom to us. All the treasures of wisdom are found in Jesus. And so if you know Jesus as your personal Savior, he is wisdom for us. And that's the most important thing. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you give to us. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus, that in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I pray that you will bless us as we study these memory verses. I pray, Father, that we will look to you for the wisdom we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.